Testing 1, 2, 3. This is side 1, tape 1 of session 1 of an interview with Charlotte Louise Plummer Owen. And it's being conducted on the 30th of August, 2002 at Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the interviewer is Colonel Eleanor Wilson.
This is Charlotte Plummer Owen. And I was born January 31st, 1918, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this is the first time I've been back since then. We didn't live here. We lived up on the Iron Range in Virginia, Minnesota. And my earliest recollection of that, the only one practically, is that when I was in kindergarten, I directed a kindergarten band. Would you believe it? And I used to have a picture of that, but it's gone now, so. But then we moved to South Dakota and then Colorado. My dad was a traveling salesman, and we ended up in Oregon. But I started music lessons. My mother was a piano teacher, and I started on this. At that time, they started youngsters in the third grade on saxophone. Because clarinet with the holes, the students were not old enough to handle a clarinet. And then I changed to clarinet in junior high. That was was in junior high when we were out from the fourth grade on up to in Eugene, Oregon, where I studied with a wonderful teacher who was head of the clarinet department at the University of Oregon. I was a Mu Phi Epsilon member in high school and won some awards there, and was given the job of directing the band at University High in Eugene while I was still going to college and getting my practice teaching in choral directing. So that was a good thing. And when I got out of university, I taught in Eastern Oregon for a year and a half. The war was on, and a friend from Portland was called into the service, so they asked me to take his job, which I did, and spent a year and a half at Commerce High in Portland, Oregon. Just this last spring, 2001, I received an award from the University of Oregon entitled Distinguished Alumna Award, and it was given with the premise that I had broken the way for women in music and band work, which was very nice. So I had a nice trip back to Oregon to receive this award, and it was great fun. We had a ceremony at the music school at the University of Oregon. It was graduation. And it was very enjoyable, and I felt wonderful about it. I have the plaque on my wall. I taught in Portland, and after the second year, when my last tuba player from the band was called into the shipyards to work because they needed help, and that was a very lucrative job for the young people at that time, I met the man I had studied clarinet with at the head of the department in University of Oregon. And he gave me a newspaper clipping that there was going to be a women's marine band formed in the Marine Corps. And I thought maybe I might be interested in it because I really wanted to play. And I'd had a lot of conducting experience by this time. So he wrote out a recommendation, and first of all, I stewed about it before I enlisted. My mother said the war would probably only last 6 weeks or so. After a sleepless night, I enlisted in the Marine Corps in Portland, which is a trip up there and so forth. Pardon? That would be in the fall of 43, and in November of 43, I received my orders. My orders were different from most of the people that had signed up to join the Marine Corps in that I was traveling by myself. Usually they traveled a troop train, and but that was okay. But when I got to Camp Lejeune, I pulled out my orders at the guardhouse and told them I was a member of the Women's Marine Band. And the guard on duty said, well, wait a minute, we'll find out about this. Well, the end result was I had to stay in the guardhouse overnight because there was no Women's Marine Band. But by morning, they got it straightened out, and there was a squad with a few people that had already arrived. And that was quite a... I thought, gee, my mom was right. I shouldn't have enlisted. Yeah, we had separate barracks. And I met a dear friend, Sonetta March Binder, from Haddonfield, New Jersey, who said radio instead of radio and things like that that we never said out in Oregon. And she was just great fun. We became bunkmates for the time we were in the service. Let's see now. The first day at boot camp, they had already, most of the, I was coming in the middle of things. So they said, be sure and roll up your hair because the lieutenant will come in and sit you down and cut it off if it touches your coat collar. So I was careful about that. I didn't want that to happen. And we went to chow, breakfast, in the morning. And I was also warned, bring home some food because you'll need it before the next meal. So there was some cheese. I never had cheese for breakfast before, but that was easy to tuck into my purse or my pocket or whatever I did. So I brought that home, and first thing I knew, there was going to be barracks inspection of our barracks, and I stuck it under my pillow on the bunk. And wouldn't you know, when the officers came through, they picked up that pillow and saw that cheese, and I got EPD, extra police duty. That night we went out with a few others that had EPD, and we had to clean a classroom armed with mops and brooms and so forth. Oh boy. So that was the beginning of it. We got things straightened out. Three principal musicians from Washington, D.C. were sent down. The Commandant of the Marine Corps ordered Captain Sandelman, Captain William Sandelman, as the director of the United States Marine Band, to form a women's band at Camp Lejeune to serve with the women in this corps. And he sent down the first clarinetist, the first trumpet player, Eddie Bodner, the first solo clarinetist, and the first percussion player, who was Charles Owen. He was the only one that wasn't married. They came down and helped get us set up. We were rehearsing in the library in the area, the women's area. And there weren't too many women in those days that had had any conducting experience. So when we graduated from boot camp, which we had to do, and we learned our other left and that sort of thing from the Quantico Marines that came up as the drill instructors. When we graduated, I had a date with Charles Owen. And by 1945, we were engaged and married. I was married in the fall of 45, and we got out. We knew at that time we'd be out in December. Now, this was our full-time job. And we rehearsed in the mornings and in the afternoons. And the rehearsals were always supervised by the three principal musicians. By the way, they don't have that rank anymore. That was done away with for some reason or another, but there were only 10 principal musicians, I believe, in the United States Marine Band at that time, so we had three of them working with us, which is great. They had it set up so everybody that came through the Marine Corps that had had musical experience, we knew about, and if we could use them, if they'd had a right experience and could handle things, we signed them up for the band. And then we had to, some of them we had to train, although the publicity went out that everybody was going to be very experienced musicians and all, but that didn't quite happen. But we were issued uniforms, yes, recreation uniforms and a regular Marine Corps short skirts and jackets and hats. No special band uniforms. During the time we were active, we tried to get permission to have a music lyre on our sleeve, and I found out later some of our members had put one on without permission, and somebody doing research had found a picture of a girl with a music lyre on, and so I've made several calls to Texas checking on this. And she had put it on her own, so it wasn't official, but it served its purpose, I guess. Wartime, it was hard to get anything like that changed, and we were lucky to have the music we needed and the instruments we needed and all of that sort of thing. Well, I remember when we needed an oboe, we had to get special permission, and that's how I met Hans Meinig in Philadelphia, who furnished us with one, and through the Marine Corps it was purchased and sent to us. He was a great instrument, a family of instrument makers and repair people, just a wonderful person. I don't remember of any budget, no. If we did, it would have been the band officer, and we had two or three during the period when we were there. But it was never given to me as a budget. So, well, probably through the, I'm not sure at this point, but we always were able to get the instrument for them, probably through help from the band in Washington, and music the same way. I think all of our members had been had to go through boot camp, and let's see, we started in about September. I think our first performance was about Christmas Eve. We did some carols and things on the bass, and I have a photograph of that time. We also were asked to play for the first birthday recording of the Women Marines, which took place mostly in New York, but part of it came from Camp Lejeune, and we had a chorus that sang, we had a trio that sang, oh gosh, I'll stop it a minute, let me think. After this broadcast for the women's birthday, sometime after that, we were on furlough, and lo and behold, we were all called back to Camp Lejeune, to Washington, D.C., where we, well, first we went to Camp Lejeune and then flew up to Washington, and to play the Nimitz Day Parade. Admiral Nimitz from the South Pacific was being honored in Washington, and we have a photograph of the band at that time marching. 43 members. We kept one or two spots open in case somebody came through the Marine Corps that was somebody we needed and was interested in playing with us. So, like the time we needed a good jazz snare drummer. We had a jazz band that played at the NCO clubs and the officers clubs, and it was a busy time. We played a practice review on Friday mornings and regular review on Saturdays, and sometimes Saturday nights, sometimes two events each day. It was a full schedule. And our itinerary is listed in our history, our book, The Musical Women Marines, I think, as I remember. Oh yes, during that time, we played for Roosevelt, and we played for Harry Truman at the base, different times. We were all in the squadron waiting for the news to come through that the war was over, and ready to get into our uniforms and get out at the base and parade, which we did. It was with great cheers. We fell out of the barracks and lined up and started playing and marching around the base. It was a glorious moment. So at that time, was when we saw President Harry Truman, and it was quite a thrill to have that, to see the president in person. Yes, we played all sorts of concerts. We played at the mess halls. We played at the troop trains when new troops were arriving and where injured ones were arriving. We played at the Naval Hospital, the mess halls, the camp theater on a regular basis, and dance jobs, both for the officers and for the enlisted personnel. And for that, we got a little extra money, which was welcome. But they were long days, and a lot of planning and so forth for it. During this time we were in active duty, we went on 3 war bond tours. The farthest west we got was Chicago, and what I especially remember about there was we got there and they didn't have the money for our meals and so forth. So we all pooled our money to exist while we were in Chicago. We played at the Naval base, and recently, when I was in Chicago, I saw the Naval base, and it's sort of like Disneyland now. it wasn't that like that when we were there. We ate at the base, and we paraded. We have photographs of parading on the streets in Chicago. And it was so windy, we had somebody standing in front of the base, somebody that was holding the bass drum as well as the bass drummer. So we had 2 people on the bass drum. That was broadside. Caught the wind nicely. Oh, it was great. And we finally got the money that we needed. The lieutenant got it for us. So we ate. And got back to our base safely. Well, I was the director for all of this time. I had an assistant director. Well, we had several lieutenants in charge. The one that seemed to remembered most was Lieutenant Marion Murphy, who has passed on. She was from Portland, Oregon. That made her very dear to my heart, of course. Oh, yes, we played, I remember one job at White Marsh Country Club outside of Philadelphia, where we had movie stars. Oh, my goodness. No, but Bonnie will. Can you check on that? And at that time, while we were at this, there was a very wealthy businessman who gave the band, he gave us $50 for the girls to spend for refreshments on the way, on the train going back to Camp Lejeune. And instead of refreshments, which we didn't seem to need at that time, we used that money to start our kitty for our newsletter, which Bonnie Medine became the editor of our newsletter, and we called it Quarter Notes. It came out four times a year. If you're a musician, you know what that means. And that has been going ever since 1945. So it's been great, and it's one of the things that has kept our band together. We've had, we're going to have another reunion in about 2 weeks, and it's going to be in Bloomington, Minnesota, just south of Minneapolis, and I think that will be our 18th reunion. We've gotten together. I have to count that up. I don't know. It's not 40, that's for sure. More like about 20, I think. But I can check on that, or Bonnie can. A great many of our members married Marines. One drum major, a number of them. Lorraine McKinnon was one of our drum majors. She married a gentleman in the Foreign Service. Bonnie Medine married a Marine, and in fact she was married at our house in Arlington, Virginia, where I lived after we left the Marine Corps. And Rhoda Anderson, Rhoda's claim to fame was that she came from Nebraska, or South Dakota was her. She went into USO work and established USOs in several in Europe, I believe. Many of them went back to home and to teaching and jobs they'd had. Because at the war's end, we were demobilized, which meant we had a vote whether we wanted to go home, or as the person that was in charge of the women Marines at that time offered us, they'd like to have us go to Hawaii, which was pretty tempting, but most of us voted to go home if we had enough points. I think we had to have 21 points or something like that. And we parted company and disbanded. So that was the end of the all women's band in the United States Marine Corps. Well, it's called the Marine Corps Women's Reserve Band. And I forgot to mention, at one time, the Marine Band came through on tour, and that was very unusual for the Marine Band to tour Marine bases at that time. We were glad to have them there. They had thousands of Marines that were stationed at Camp Lejeune in the audience, and they weren't on chairs, they were sitting on buckets that they all brought from their squad rooms. I've always wondered about that. But that was a nice opportunity for me because I had met Captain Sandlin by this time and was well known, and he invited me to be a guest conductor, and the Globe took a picture of it, so I have a record of it. The Globe is the Camp Lejeune newspaper at that time. So it was great fun, and it's nice to have it recorded because it's meant a lot to my career. Later on, after I got out of the service and a number of years I taught privately, and then my husband did 20 years in the Marine Band as soloist and timpanist with the band, and from there he went to the Philadelphia Orchestra as first percussion and was there for 18 years under Eugene Normandy. And our two children were both taught music, and my daughter is a professional oboist at this point. And let's see, what was I going to tell you? Oh, and from Philadelphia Orchestra, Charles was offered a position as head of the percussion department at University of Michigan. So that's how we ended up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I'm still there. So, my daughter was playing in the Ann Arbor Civic Band, knew the conductor was leaving, and suggested I audition for it, or I approach them, which I did. And they were delighted because I could give them a recording of the band when we performed in 1944, and so they knew I had done something. And I have just retired from that job as the director of the Ann Arbor Civic Band after 16 summers, and spent the summer in Colorado, which was a delightful time to be invited to Colorado for the whole month of July, and now this.
Charlotte, how has the Marine Corps enriched your life?
That's hard to answer in a few words. But it certainly has. It's been great for my career as a musician. It has been a wonderful camaraderie with friends all across the country. Our members are from Maine to California to Florida to all over. It's wonderful. And we have such great times getting together. It's been a joy to be connected with the Marine Corps, and we knew at that time that this was the only time during our life we could do something like this, so I'm so glad I joined up. It's meant everything in the world to me.